And we're going to continue on with it. The title's Walking in the Light, and this will be part two of it. Now, I got somewhere I want to go, but because it's been a pretty good while, we need to recap some. So some of these I'll just quote, some I may read. But if y'all remember, we went over them Sunday before last. But in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "If you follow me, or we follow him, we will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now, we talked about last time that darkness is not just absence of light, like we would come in here and no lights are on, so it's dark. It's not that kind of darkness. The Bible talks about over in Ephesians chapter 6 how that Satan and his bunch, it talks about the spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of the darkness. The Bible also says those that are lost is because the God of this world has blinded their hearts and their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel shine in. That's what he's talking about. It's like what you know, what you see, what you comprehend, what you understand. So he said there, if we follow him, we will not walk in darkness. Right? So then in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, he said, "Walk in the light as he is in the light, and we'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unsin and unrighteousness." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says that we were sometimes darkness, but now we are light. He says, "Walk or live as children of the light." The Bible says in Psalm chapter 119, verse 130, it says, "The entrance of thy word bringeth light." Light is about what you know. I'm not just talking about revelation. Just like little kids, they learn the difference between what is right and what is wrong, right? What is right would be light. They know this to be the right thing, or they know this to be the wrong thing. Now, let's look at James chapter 4. Or, Beth, just put it on the screen for us, please. We won't want to take the time since it's just the one verse. It says, "So any person who knows what is right to do," notice that, you know it, right? You know. And God knows what we know because he's the one that showed us, right? It says, "So any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is sin." A lot of people think adultery, all that sin is adultery or fornication, you know, sex outside of marriage and going to the bars and all this other stuff. That's not what the Bible teaches. How many knows you can be doing some of that and not even know that it's wrong? It's whatever you have light of. Whatever you know, he says to you, if you don't do what you know, then to you it's sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. I mean, we don't want none of that, right? We want life. He said if we will follow him, we won't walk in darkness, and we will have the light of life. Now, let's go over to James chapter 1. Maybe later. I'm going to start reading in, this is going to be the Amplified version, and I'm going to start reading in, I think I've got, what is that? Yeah, 19. It says, "Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness God wishes and requires. So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit receive and welcome the word, which implanted," notice this, "which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your souls." But notice this, he says, "But be doers of the word." "Obey the message and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. for he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, wonderful picture of the Word of God, right? And is faithful to it and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys. He shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience. Now, I told you before, we live in a day and age to where knowledge abounds. Any kind of knowledge you want. I mean, you got Google, you got Siri, I mean, all of them. What is that, Alexa or whatever. I mean, all kinds of knowledge. Anything you want to know about, just about. And it, how many knows more is coming? Now, I had mentioned that, and I'm not talking about it being a distraction. I'm talking about we have an epidemic in the church, in the body of Christ today. And what it is this hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Y'all come on now. Hearing and hearing and hearing, but not doing. This is going to answer some questions for some people. We talked about what is sin. When light comes, when you know what is right to do, when you know what you're supposed to do, and you don't do it, it is sin to you. You can pray for some people. You can pray for some people all day long, and nothing's going to change. Why? There's some, I'm telling you, listen to me this morning by way of internet. There's some of you that God has told you go to church and get a job and keep it, and you won't even do it. I'm not just talking to people here. I'm all over the world. We got a bunch of Facebook Christians listening this morning. They could be in the house of the Lord this morning, but they hear and they hear and they hear, but they will not do. Therefore, their life is in the same mess that it's been in for 30-something years. Why? Because James said, if you just hear, you are a forgetful hearer, and you don't do, you have deceived yourself. You think you're a doer. See, the Bible talks about how that knowledge puffs up. Knowledge without love. What he means there is, how many knows that a lot of us, not just talking about here, especially ministers, I've seen this a lot. Oh, yeah, I can quote the forwards and backwards and all of that. I could quote you scripture for an hour and a half. But how much do you do? Because, see, my knowledge is puffing me up, making me think I'm something, but Jesus says, you ain't done nothing yet. So then when I call on him, Lord, Lord, he says, I don't know you. Why do you call me Lord and do not do the things that I tell you to do? But Lord, I did. Y'all remember the story about Saul, right? Samuel come and he told him, he said, go over there. He said, take the Amalekites. He said, kill the king and slaughter everything and everybody. Was Saul clear on what Samuel told him? On the will of the Lord, right? Y'all remember these scriptures, right? Okay, he's clear. So what's that mean? He sees, right? He knows. He gets over there and he starts reasoning contrary to the truth, like James says. The truth is what he knows. He starts reasoning. He starts thinking about the people, how I'm going to look in their eyes, whatever the case might be. For whatever reason, he starts reasoning contrary to the truth. He saves the king. He saves the best of the sheep and the animals and all of that kind of stuff, right? He killed the men and women and children and different things. And then when Samuel was being a little bit longer than what he thought he should be or said he would be, he begins to make a sacrifice. It became sin to him. Why? Because he knew. See, what you don't know is not sin to you. Could be sin to me because I know. But see, you might not know. That's how come you can't judge people. You can't judge people. Why? Because you don't know what they know. You may know what they've heard. How much have you heard and you never even noticed it in a service? And say you and Johnny's talking to each other and Johnny's like, blah, 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 and you're like, they said that? I didn't even hear that. Has that ever happened to y'all? That's happened to me and Scotty before and other people. Now I'd be like, are you serious? I didn't hear that. Say, I can't be accountable. I didn't even hear that. Not with these ears. I didn't hear that with these. Didn't come across my radar. So guess what? I'm not responsible for what I don't know. But see, a lot of these in day and age that we live in, oh, we know. We know. And then we'll tell people what we know. Right? Oh, I've been... Y'all have heard the testimony of Monty and Travis, haven't you? Y'all remember that, right? Monty, Travis, both of them. Travis, from the time right before he turned 2 years old, raised him in the house of the Lord at service almost every time that we possibly could be, other than the couple of months that we backslid there for a little while or whatever. And we was doing our best to be doers of the word, not perfect at it and all. Raised in the house. Wasn't because he didn't know, Johnny. Wasn't because he hadn't heard. Wasn't because Monty didn't hear. Wasn't because you didn't know. He was not a doer of what he heard. So life in shambles. Life in shambles. That's every person today. But they become deceived because they know and they hear. And they be like, "Woo! That CD you gave me, that was good. You got a number two with that? But what did you do with number one?" I've had people before, I've known people and other people, they say, "I just don't think they go to a good church." The reason why they were saying that, because they've been born again for years, but they wasn't seeing their life change. And they say, "I just don't think they go to a good church now. I don't think their church is right or something. Something's going." Why? Because people know you by your fruit. Not what you say, not by the scripture that you quote, but how you live. So, we got invited to a revival or something that they was having, and we wasn't having church, so we went over to their church. And I thought, okay, we're going to see what y'all got, whether this is good church or not, because y'all's life ain't changing much. Now, I don't say that. I go over there, and I'm sitting there, and you know what? I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, hey, that's the same thing I teach. I believe that scripture. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Same thing I believe. Was it that it wasn't a good church, Samantha? It was they hear and don't do. Hear and don't do. Hear and don't do. It is the doers, not the hearers only. The doers of the word that James says here, that man, that woman, that person, that kid, I don't care how old you are. If you hear the word and it becomes life to you, you begin to do it, God will bless you. Everything in his word that he said it would do, it will absolutely do. Why? There's not one word of God that is void of power. And he watches over his word, he says, to perform it, to make sure not one of his words falls to the ground when you do them. When you walk in the light, you live, you do. You conduct your life by what you know. See, Jesus said in John 8:32. See, we like to quote that scripture that says, "And the Bible says, I shall know the truth, and the truth will make me free." Woo! Don't forget the first part of that. A half scripture is a lie. Anybody quote the first part of that? He says, if you continue in my word, that's not just talking about reading it. That's talking about you hear it and you do it. Right? Because over there, another place in John, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Right? They're living. Why? Because you're doing them. So they're living. They are a part of you just as much as the broccoli you ate yesterday or whatever that you ate. Why? When you eat it, it becomes a part of you. But he said, if you continue in my word, so shall you be my disciple. Right? My student, my learner. He said, and then you shall know the truth. I mean, and the truth that you know and you do, it'll make you free. But you can hear the truth. You can quote the scripture and not do, no freedom comes. That's why James said there, he said, the word of God is the perfect law of liberty. What's that mean? It means it's a law. Y'all know what gravity is, right? If you don't know, climb on the top of this building and you'll find out real quick. Everybody in this room, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how skinny you are, how fat you are, you might hit it a little faster, how fat you are, what color your skin is, who your mom and daddy is. You get on the top of this roof and you jump, you're coming down just like everybody else. It's a law. Gravity is a law. That's what he says about the word. It is the law of liberty. Now let's go back here to it. Notice what he says. He says, but be doers of the word, obey the message. If you've heard the word and it didn't just get passed to you, you know to love your brethren, Jesus said, right? He said, a new commandment I give unto you. They asked him, some of them said, what is the greatest commandment in the, notice, law? We're not under that law. He said, what's the greatest commandment in the law? He told him, he said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. They could not love the way Jesus loved under the law. He couldn't be in them. They couldn't be born again. Well, now we get born again. Now Jesus told us, he said, I want you, he said, a new commandment I give unto you. He said, that you love the brethren. Who's the brethren? The born again. Just as I have loved you. If you just do that, you'll keep all the rest of them. But that's a mouthful. That means I don't make fun of you when you mess up. That means I don't talk about you behind your back. Y'all come on now. We've been slipping here lately. From the things, I don't know what's going on, but from the things I've been hearing from the Lord, some of y'all are hurting one another. And that's not good. God takes it personally. He said, whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, he said, you have done to me. But if I'll keep this, but see, if I don't keep this, see, my knowledge is puffing me up. I think I know something. I can quote a scripture. I go to church every time the door is open. But you ain't loving? You ain't done nothing yet. You ain't even in the Spirit yet. Why? The Bible says God is love, 1 John 4:8. And if I'm not walking in the love of God, there's no way I can be walking in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God, right? A part of God, and He is love. That's why the first fruit, when He comes on the inside of you, the first fruit that He begins to produce in you is the love of God, according to Galatians 5:22, right? So that's the one I need to be doing. Number one that I need to be doing is loving God with all my heart and loving the brethren just as Jesus has loved me. What's that? It means a sacrifice for you at times. See, church don't want to hear nothing about that. We just want to hear about how get us blessed, we get more money, keep us healed, me and mine. See, a lot of people don't go to church today because they used to be ministers. But see, I find Jesus said, or I think it may have been Paul, but anyway, the Bible says it, where much is given, much is required. The more light you have, the more you know, right? The more scriptures you can quote that you say, you see. See, it's all about what you see and what you know. Because, see, the Pharisees told Jesus, said, we have never been in darkness. Right? Y'all remember that? We've never been in darkness. What are you talking about? Sin? We don't sin. And Jesus told them, he said, yeah, you do. He said, because you know. And because you say you know, it's sin. But had you not known, it wouldn't have been sin to you. Right? Y'all remember those scriptures, right? So all I say that I know, and all that I really do know, I need to be doing. So what's that mean? That means when I hear the word, I don't need to sit there and think, I'm telling you right now, that is so-and-so to a T. Done it, been there, done that, I've thought that. How many know so-and-so ain't the one I need to be thinking about? Because I don't know what so-and-so needs. I don't even know what I need. Until he tells me, or he shows me, or he gives it to me. But when I hear the word, I need to be thinking about numero uno. Is that right? Number one, right? Number one, me. Why? I don't know what you know. I don't know what you... But I am the only one that I can change. I am the only one that can walk in what I know. And I am the only one that will stand before God and give an account of what I knew and did or did not do. So when I hear the word, I need to be thinking, how can I apply this to my life? How does this affect me? I need to quit doing this. I need to start doing this. Oh, I need to do less of that, more of this. Well, the Holy Ghost is in there. He'll help you. Right? He talks to you. But that's what I need to do. And remember it past them doors right there. Because see, some people, they go to church every time the door is open and they hear, but by the time they get home and talking to so-and-so on the phone, they can't even tell you what the preacher preached on. So if you don't remember it, how are you even going to do it? I have certain scriptures and different things that I read almost every morning. And not just because to read them or what, to remind myself. And one of them is 1 Corinthians 13. And I have told y'all this and told y'all this and told y'all this. And some of y'all have took notes, but you ain't done it. Because see, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8 is love. A lot of people today think love is a feeling, and love is not a feeling. Jesus said over in John, he said, those that really love me, he said, they are the ones that keep, do, obey my commands. There's not a bit of feeling in that whatsoever. It's doing, ain't it? It's hearing what he said and doing it. He said, these are the ones that love me. Then you go on down to, I think it's about verse 21, and he says, those that have my commandments and do them, he said, I will come and manifest or reveal myself to him. What's that mean? It means you got light and you do it, more light comes. But the Bible talks about how in Mark 4, even that which you seem to have when you don't do, he says, be careful how you hear. He said, for the amount of study and attention that you give to what you hear, it'll be measured back to you again. What's that mean? Whatever you got, you do it and you hang on to it, more will come. But he says, whatever it seems like you got, he said, that'll be taken away. Woo, we're having fun now, ain't we? Hallelujah. So he says, but be doers of the word, obey the message and not merely listeners to it. Why? This ain't even the devil. He says, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. There's people, they hear, they hear, they hear, they hear, and their life is a mess, and they can't figure out why. And a lot of us see them, and we can't figure out why. I'm telling you why. Y'all remember the scriptures about the two different foundations, right? That we read, I think it was Sunday before last. He said, the doer. The one that hears my words and does them. He's a wise man. He builds his house on the rock. How do you build your house on the rock? You do what the word says. It's a firm foundation. When your life starts falling apart, Johnny, what's it do? It holds you steady. When it looks like you're going to lose everything you've got because you ain't got no money whatsoever. When you've been doing the word, not hearing, you've been doing the word. I can't get it out hard enough, sounds like. But when you've been doing the word, it's a firm foundation. And the Bible says that person's house, your windows won't even rattle. It says you can't even shake it. When the hurricane comes and the tornado comes, it can't even shake you. Why? Because you have been a doer of that word, and your house that you have built, that the Lord has built, you are founded on the rock. But he says the one that just hears it and don't do it, hears it and don't do it, hears it and don't. See, we like to hear it because it's what? Woo! It feels good when light comes, don't it? Feels good when you hear a good anointed word. Sometimes to me it's like eating when you're hungry. You can feel it on the inside. It's like food when you've been fasting. Who don't like that? Feels good. But we got to go beyond feeling good, hearing to feel good, and hearing to do. He says, you'll get self-deceived, right? That's kind of like somebody that's fat. We'll just use me for an example. See, that don't bother me. I try to be brutally honest with myself. That's why I am with some of y'all, and y'all don't like it. You get offended about it. Why? Because you like to think you're something else. Y'all ever seen a fat person that thinks they're skinny? I mean, they'll wear Speedos, and I mean, they are just hanging out everywhere. And they're like, you want some of that, don't you? And you'll be like, are you kidding me? Do you think you're 110 or what? I'm talking about pounds. When you're actually 450. And we can't even see you, Speedo. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. I'm not trying to paint an image, but anyway. Y'all get the picture, right? Self-deception. Or on the other hand, you got them, they weigh 80. And when they look in the mirror, they see 250. What's that mean? Neither one of those are reality. They're not right. That's what happens when you hear the word and you don't do it. You think because you know it, you're doing it. But then when the storms of... Listen, and you can't have enough faith to not have trials and tests and troubles and tribulations and the devil attack you. Jesus said, as long as we live in the earth, we will have tribulation. But he said what? Be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. How do we overcome? The Bible says over there, what is it? 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory. Our faith. Faith without what? Works, deeds, doing of what you hear, right? Is dead that produces what? Nothing. See, Samantha, I'm not deceived. I'm fat and I know it. That's fine. I can say that. Don't you tell me that. Now, I try to be brutally honest with myself. Why? I don't want to be deceived. I know why I'm fat. I eat too much. I eat too much of the wrong thing, and I don't move enough. That's it. See, you got people, they're self-deceived, and they're looking for that next diet. Looking for the next diet. Listen, baby, you can do macros. You can do Weight Watchers. You can count carbs. I mean, they got a whole list. And just spend your money and spend your money. All you got to do, baby, is create a deficit. Y'all know how to do that, don't you? Of course you do. Look at your bank account. Just don't put in as much as what you're taking out. You'll be in the red in your bank account. Right? It's the same way with your body. Same way. And you can say, I got a slow metabolism. Your metabolism is connected to how much you move. You can increase it. Listen, you can ask Travis. I've been on this for... what? Since you was 8, 9? Travis, I'm not going to say his name. Travis hates to hear the name of a certain Christian doctor, nutritionist. Because when mama goes on a diet or gets a lifestyle change, everybody in the house gets a diet or a lifestyle change. So see, it's not because I don't know. I don't have the results because I don't do. I've got some of them, every book that they have ever put out about weight loss. Counting and all this stuff. I have got all kinds. I used to have this one called Boot Camp. Y'all remember that one, Boot Camp? Well, I can't remember that guy's name, some black guy. I can't remember his name right now. Yeah, buddy, I'm talking about Boot Camp. 15 minutes or less of that, and you are laying on the floor with your tongue hanging out, if you can even do it. So see, it's not because I don't know. But I will not allow myself to become deceived. Y'all ever watch that doctor? They call him Dr. Now Zardin. Yeah, it's them that they go when they have that weight loss surgery stuff. I used to watch that, and I'm telling you, it's unreal. 460-something pounds. They put you on something like 1,000 to 1,500 calorie liquid diet or whatever. They eat McDonald's twice a day and drink one of them 1,500 calorie shake things or whatever and come back to Dr. Now and they've gained weight. You know what they tell him? I've done everything you said. I don't know why. Must be fluid. 30 pounds. Jesus would tell parables so you could understand spiritual. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. Because some are not getting it the way I'm saying it. And they'll come, I did everything you say to do. You're drinking what we told you. Yes, I am. And he just looks at him, you know. How many? That's impossible. It's impossible. It's the same way with the Word of God. It is absolutely impossible for you or me to continually obey the Word of God and not get the results that it says. Why? It says it is the perfect law of liberty. So it is impossible, Sandy, for me to create a deficit of food and drink in my mouth and not lose weight. I don't care what you do to do. All you got to do is that. Just create a deficit, no matter how you do it, and you will lose weight. Now, let's move on. Glad y'all had them weight loss tips there for the new year. Now, later on in the year, we'll find out who did them and who did not. And we'll look at numero uno here. Now, he says, for if anyone only listens to the word, notice what he said. You hear it? You hear it? Oh, it's so good to you. You shout hallelujah. Without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. Now, when you look into a mirror, you see yourself, right? You know. You become aware. You get knowledge. You see, right? You can see any blemish or anything, how your hair is or whatever, you know. Whatever the case. Why? It's the same way when you look in the Word of God. That's why he's comparing it that way. When you look in the mirror, you know, don't you? Okay, now notice what he says here. He says, for he thoughtfully observes himself. He sees, he has light, in other words. And then goes off and promptly what? Forgets what he was like. You looked in the mirror. You looked in the mirror this morning and you could see your hair was a wreck. And you went off and you ate your breakfast and you forgot. But we all see it. Now, that's an analogy. Nobody done that. What does that mean? I forgot I didn't brush my hair. But if I had done it while I was standing there in the mirror looking at it, I would have fixed it. But because I went off, I didn't do it then. I didn't make up my heart and mind to obey the Word of God right then to make the changes, to repent, right? I went off and I forgot. But then all y'all see me, and my hair is worse than Aiden's was this morning, and his mama told him, go wet yourself down. Right? He goes on here. It says, but he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, noticing it says, and is a faithful to it. What's that mean? It means you do it every time. You do it, you do it, you do it, you do it. And is faithful to it and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener, you just listen to message after message, who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be what? Blessed in his doing, in his life of obedience. I want to be the blessed. We all want to be the blessed, don't we? Then we're not deceived in how we get there. So what's that mean? You get a whole entire brand new year now to get started. If you've not been a doer of what you know. And listen, it ain't always easy. But I have found a key that's been helping me. If I will control my thoughts. Right? If I control my thoughts, I can most of the time control my words. And James says, if I control my words, I can bridle my whole body. So if you're wanting to lose weight, stop saying I got a slow metabolism. You're working against yourself. If you're wanting to lose weight, don't be saying, I'm telling you right now, I'm starving to death before 12 o'clock. I couldn't eat that. I'd starve. Listen, you got a lot of reserve to live on. I got a lot of reserve I could live on, right? I could live a long time. Jesus himself fasted 40 days, didn't he? He didn't wither up and blow away. What'd you do, Johnny, 21 or 40? 40. Now, Johnny was about to, but he did not. He's still here. Now, he got on down there. Just goes to show you, if you'll create a deficit, right? It'll come off. So if I'll be a doer of the word, my life will be blessed. It'll get better and better and better. Why? Because God's plan for every one of us, he says in Jeremiah 29, it's good. It's for our good. He helps us even in times of trouble. He helps us. He strengthens us. He opens doors for us that no man can shut. He gives us favor that everybody don't get. But it's to the doer of the word. Amen? Now, alrighty here. That was John 14:15, where Jesus said, if you really love me, you'll keep my commandments. And it was John 14:21 that he said, if you keep his commandments, he'll come and reveal himself to you. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Do you know that's one reason why a lot of people don't stay at this church? Now, some have come and they wasn't supposed to be here. They're just looking where they're supposed to get, and it wasn't here. I know some that they're supposed to have stayed here, and they have not. And you know why? Because they don't want to hear this stuff. They want to go over at that church where they can be just like everybody else. And here, and listen, I used to go to church with some people. I'm telling you, they was right at the time. But when I look at them now, be careful what you put on your Facebook pages. People are looking at you. I shouldn't look at your page and see certain things and hear certain things. That ain't a place to vent. Because, see, they've been looking down through there. Oh, yeah, I see. Boy, she's a good Christian. I tell you right now. And I tell you, you're blankety blank so-and-so. I'm like, you just heard everything you had before that. Facebook ain't the place to vent. Jesus is. And that's all. And it's your page. You can do what you want. I'm trying to help you. Where was I at? Y'all remember? Before y'all got me off on, no, I was on something else. Oh, yeah, they like to go to them churches over there where we can be just like everybody else, stay in the same dim box. When the Bible, and we compare ourselves one to another, don't you ever compare yourself to anybody in this church. Not to me, not to Pastor. Not, Jesus is your standard. Right? And anytime I'm looking at him as my standard, I always see I got a long ways to go. But if I look at you or you look at me, you might think, I'm just as good a Christian as she is. I'm not the standard. Amen? So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, not trying to pull anything out of context. Y'all can go back and read the whole chapter. But verse 10 in the Amplified, he says, for we must all appear and be revealed as we are before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive his pay according to what he has what? Oh, that grace covered. Ah, there's teachings out there about the grace of God that is absolutely false. The Bible says that the grace of God teaches me to deny all ungodliness. What's ungodly? Anything the Bible says is ungodly. It means not like God. And it says the grace of God teaches me to deny all ungodliness, right? Not to cover it up, not to make it okay, because it don't. And he's saying here, everybody, it says, so that each one may receive his pay. You're going to get a reward, good or bad, according to what he has done in the body, whether good or evil, considering what his purpose, notice what he says, purpose and motive have been, and what he has achieved. Been busy with. You've been building your kingdom or his? And given himself and his attention to accomplishing. Now look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verse 27, I think. Yeah. He says, "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory, the majesty, splendor of his Father with his angels." We know he is, right? We're looking forward to it. It says, "And then he will render account." Same thing he was talking about over 2 Corinthians, right? "He will render account and reward every man according with what he has done." Not by what he heard. Not by what he preached. Not by the scriptures he quote. See, a lot of people, they think, "I'm on a firm foundation, you know, I'll make it through. You know, I'm a note taker. I made 15 pages of notes. What have you done?" Nothing. "Well, I go see Benny Hinn and Jesse Duplantis every time they come to town. What have you done?" See the deception in the hearing and just hearing and hearing and not doing. But he says when he comes, everybody's going to give an account of what we have done here in this earth. What we have busied ourselves. Why? You only got a certain amount of time, and nobody knows how much time you got. If you got evangelism in your heart, get out there and do it. Why? You're running out of time. "Well, I don't have it in a direction." Yes, you do. Jesus told the disciples, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." You got north, south, east, and west. Get out there and do it and be led like the Apostle Paul. He tried to go to Mysia and the Holy Ghost arrested him. He wouldn't let him. Y'all quiet. You don't know how many more days you got and you don't want to lose it and get there and stand before the Lord. "Well, I was going to, Lord, 10 years ago. But I never got a direction." I'm telling you, you have a direction. So everybody's going to give an account to the Lord of what we have done. Let's look at Matthew 25 here. Now I'm going to have to close this up. Whew, this is good to me. I've been working on it too, so it feels even better. Matthew 25, and I'm just for time's sake, I'm going to start reading in verse 24. Now, the first part of this is the parable of the talents. He gave one 5, he gave one 2. He come back to get an account. That's what we just read. Ain't Jesus coming, he said, with his angels, and we're all going to give an account. This is a parable that he's talking about to explain what's going to happen. So one he gave 5, the other one he gave 2, and he came back to get an account. And the one, he said, "Lord, you gave me 5. He said, "Look here, I got 5 more. I got 10, Lord." What did the Lord say? "Well, you know you shouldn't have did so much. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." Then the one that he gave 2, he said, "Look, Lord, I got 2 more. I got 4 now. You gave me 2, but I got 4. I've been busy with your kingdom. You gave me just a little, but look what I've done. I've multiplied it, God. With all the grace and the anointing and the ability that you gave me, God, I used it." Right? He said, "I got 4. What did he say? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Then we come to this one here in verse 24. I'm going to read this in, I think, the Amplified, ain't it? Yeah. He says, "He who had received 1 talent." All you got's 1. So you ain't got a lot of responsibility as the other 2, right? He says, "Also came forward saying, Master." Now look what he knew. See, you judged according to the life that you have, right? Okay, he's going to tell on himself. He said, "I knew you to be a harsh and hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you had not winnowed the grain. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is your own." Now notice what the master says. "But his master answering him, 'You wicked and you lazy and you idle servant, did you indeed know?" Did you have lied about me? Did you have lied into my word? You're saying you did, right? He goes on. He says, did you indeed know that I reap where I have not sowed and gather grain where I have not winnowed? He said he did. Then you should have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received what was my own with interest. Now notice what he says. So take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Remember the scripture I quoted you over there in Mark 4? He says, for the study and attention that you give to what you have, more will be given. But even what it seems like you have, when you don't do it, it's taken away. This is exactly what he done. He said, take the one away from him, because he's a lazy and wicked servant. He says, so take the talent away, he said, and give it to the one that's got 10. Why? God is all into productivity. If he gives you 5, and that's how come the faithful get used, Damien. And used and used, and they don't get to quit. Y'all not saying nothing. So see, if you ain't being used, might be a little problem. But if you're getting used, oh, we need you to do this. You're doing the clothes, Darson. We need you to do the flowers. And we need you to do this, Sandy. And we need you to, why? Because the faithful get more. The unfaithful get even what seems like they have. I got to finish this up and quit. He says, so take that away from the one and give it to the 10. For to everyone who has what? More will be given. Whatever light you got and you obey it, more light will come. It's called steps into the light. Whatever you know about him and you use that and you walk in, more will be revealed to you. Right? That's what he's saying here. He says, for the one who has more will be given, and he will be furnished richly so that he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. And then he goes on and he says, throw him, in other words, the furnace, outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God's not into lazy. God's not into fear, right? He said, I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. I didn't give you that spirit of timidity. Amen? Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comments or anything before we close?